You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tuesday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us on this cloudy to partly cloudy afternoon. And you've heard we've got some strong storms coming in tomorrow. It's going to cool off a little bit and then... You know, I hate to hear this, but there might be a few showers on Saturday. But let's not worry about that now, because there are a few parades on Saturday. Let's not worry about that now, but we'll know more about that as the week goes on. Hey, this afternoon, you know, more criticism about the Kendrick Lamar halftime show. And I want to share some of the comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. I wrote a blog about this. The blog is posted on our website, WWL.com. It's also posted on the SOTA Facebook page, and you can comment on it there. I also did a video yesterday after the show about the Jesus freaks in the street for the Super Bowl. Some of them were rather aggressive. And I don't have a problem with people talking about their religion. It's protected by the First Amendment. But there's no reason to be aggressive. So I'll share some of your comments to that video. You can still check that out. Scoot on the Air Facebook, and we'll read some of your comments about that. But we'll talk a little bit more about that this afternoon. And I want to know, did you encounter any Jesus freaks on the street during the Super Bowl? Now, you know, they come here for Mardi Gras. They come here for Halloween. You know, there's a lot of debauchery in the streets for Mardi Gras. A lot of debauchery for Halloween. What the hell are they doing here for the Super Bowl? Which one of the commandments is broken when you go to a football game? So I really couldn't quite figure out their presence here other than they just want to get some attention. But again, as I say, some of them were a little on the aggressive side. And I had a brief encounter, verbal encounter, with one of them. And it just goes to show you how stupid some of these people really are. So we'll talk about that. I'd like to know if you had any encounters with them as well. You know, presidents have very serious decisions to make. They make very important decisions that affect the American people. The President of the United States has signed an order for plastic straws to come back. He wants to bring back plastic straws. I didn't know they were all gone. I mean, I used a plastic straw yesterday in my smoothie. But a lot of people were working toward paper straws, but Donald Trump is trying to bring back the plastic straws. So plastic or paper, not in terms of your bags, but in terms of your straws. We'll talk about that. Hey, Steve Bannon has pleaded guilty to stealing money from MAGA donors. He's not going to go to jail. And apparently they said, if you plead guilty, you're not going to jail. So I would rather the guy admit that he stole money from MAGA people in the fraud to build the wall. I mean, here's a guy who was representing Donald Trump in the quest to build the wall. And he was asking for money. And man, people wanted that wall built. They would send the money. Once they realized Mexico wasn't going to pay for it, they would send money in. So just like the televangelist who ripped people off, Steve Bannon admits he ripped people off. I would rather him admit that than him actually go to jail. So, you know, we can't save everybody. These are the people who truly are suffering from DTS or Trump, TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. These are the people who are really suffering from that, not people like me, these people. And we can't save them all. But if we can save a few, if every afternoon we can save one or two on this show, then we've done our job. Now, there are a lot of Republicans and a lot of conservatives who voted for Donald Trump, who don't buy into everything that Donald Trump says. We're not talking about those people. We're talking about the gullible MAGAs, the gullible right-wing radicals who don't want the truth. And they sent money to build the wall, and Steve Gannon stole some of the money. So, again, maybe somebody opens their eyes. And if one person, just one person, opens their eyes, it's all worth it, in my opinion. So Taylor Swift was booed at the Super Bowl when she was shown on the big Jumbotron screen. During the national anthem, when President Trump was standing very stoically, saluting the American flag during John Baptiste's singing of the national anthem, there was a big applause for Donald Trump. Now, seems to me that maybe you should be focused on the national anthem, but I think that's fine. You want to applaud the President of the United States, that's fine. You're in a football game, they show the President of the United States, and you want to applaud him, that's great. But it's a little disturbing that people feel the need to boo Taylor Swift. And it really shows you that it's really all about politics. They're not booing her music. I mean, they may not like her music, but they're not booing her music. They're booing the fact that she did not vote for Trump. She did not support Trump. She was actually, you know, she didn't really campaign against Trump, but she was not for Trump. And Trump said he hated Taylor Swift. And so that's all a lot of the MAGAites needed to boo her. And it just seems that it's a little disturbing that, you know, here's a performer and she's getting booed just because she didn't support Donald Trump. You know, this is a number. In fact, Donald Trump doesn't like hearing this. So if you're a MAGAite or a true right-wing radical, if you're a butt kisser, you're not going to want to hear this. But I think Kamala Harris got about 75 million votes. And Bret Baier was interviewing Donald Trump on Fox News, and Donald Trump didn't want to hear that. And so he was a little upset about that. But that's the truth. Donald Trump won by a very, very small margin. It's like about 1%. About 1%. And he doesn't want to believe that. He wants to believe that he won by a landslide, and that's not true. So there are a hell of a lot of people that do not like him, including many Republicans and many conservatives. They voted for him because he was the best choice. So I hate that we're to the point where, you know, people complain about artists bringing politics onto the stage. But if you boo Taylor Swift because she didn't like Donald Trump, you are bringing politics into music. You're bringing politics into entertainment. So we'll talk a little bit about that this afternoon. And if you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Art Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Also, let's comment on the Saints' new head coach, Kellen Moore. I had a very brief conversation with Kellen, and we're going to try and play that back for you. Maybe in hindsight, it means a little bit more, but not much, because when I talked to him briefly at a press conference here, he really couldn't say anything about the deal with the Saints, but he did make a couple of comments. So we'll replay that conversation this afternoon. Hey, congratulations to the Lady Tigers. LSU's Lady Tigers are in the top five. They've done something that apparently the women's basketball program has never done. They've beaten Tennessee twice in the same season. Yeah, basketball's ramping up, and, you know, this is the month that leads us into March Madness, so that's coming up. So it's time to start, you know, falling in love with your teams. But the LSU Lady Tigers are doing well. Kanye West's X account was deleted after a series of anti-Semitic posts and sales of a swastika T-shirt for $20. You know, this guy, you know, is mega rich, and he's got the money to be stupid. But at some point, this may catch up with him. He was selling swastika T-shirts, according to reports. And apparently the rapper shared the post saying that he was logging out of Twitter, which is now, of course, X. But, you know, selling swastika t-shirts, yeah, that's, you know, that's the right thing to do for your image. Ye, yay, ya, whatever your name is. I call it Kanye West. Mama name him West, I'm going to call him West. Mm-hmm. All right, again, if you want to join us, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer. He's sitting at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well. How are you?
I'm good. You're a Swiftie. I don't describe myself as a Swiftie. I respect her. I mean, wouldn't you describe yourself as a Swiftie?
I mean, I guess you gotta define what that means. Like, I'm not like, I don't have like Taylor Swift posters on my wall and stuff. I appreciate Taylor Swift the same way I appreciate Katy Perry or Rihanna or Beyonce or any of the other, you know, pop stars. Well, I thought her Eras Tour was very impressive.
Yeah. I got the feeling that at some point when you were talking about the Eras Tour, you called yourself a Swiftie.
Yeah, but I think I may have.
Yeah, but it's okay. I mean, I have total and complete respect for Taylor Swift. I am fascinated to see what she's going to do next after reaching the peak with the Eras Tour. What is she going to do next? I'm watching, and I'm going to be fascinated with her next step. But, you know, the booing of Taylor Swift, it just seems to be a reflection of the viciousness and the hate that is really continuing to grow in America. And I was hoping that it might, you know, kind of subside or go away. I mean, after Trump won, people should be satisfied and not be so hateful. But apparently, since he won, it's ramping up.
Yeah, there's no doubt that this sort of really bullying machismo, mean, you know, finger in your eye, sort of toxic masculinity is everywhere now. And it's always kind of been there, except it was, you know, at one time it was embarrassing or not acceptable to be that way. But Donald Trump and his movement have made that not the case anymore. I'm actually about three quarters of the way through a really good book about this. It's called Blackpilled by Ellie Reeve, a journalist who...
Black what?
Blackpilled.
Blackpilled.
Blackpilled, who studied the phenomenon about how, you know, going all the way back to Gamergate, and I don't know, we're not going to talk about Gamergate today, but basically the type of misogyny that you see on the internet, you know, on 4chan and some of these other, you know, darker corners of the web 10 years ago, is now is manifesting in the real world in a way that it hadn't before. And I think this is a good example of that. So I'm glad we're talking about it.
Yeah, it makes me think that there are a lot of Americans who are really, truly insecure with themselves.
Oh, yeah.
They're not happy with who they are. And in their frustration by hating somebody else, by expressing hate for somebody else, by criticizing somebody else, you not only feel better about yourself, but I think there are a lot of white Americans who somehow feel totally threatened that they're losing their grip on power. And you shouldn't have total power just because you're white. Everybody should have an equal chance of having power and having being in the positions of authority. So you earn that. And, you know, that's the way it should be. And if you can't beat somebody else out, well, you know, that's just the way it goes. But, you know, it seems like a lot of people feel like they're losing their grip on the world that they've had, but it was a world that has been unfair to a lot of other Americans. So just because somebody else gains rights doesn't mean you lose rights, and you should just get a hold of yourself and instead of hating, manifesting all of your energy hating somebody or bashing people, like some of the people on my Facebook page, it's like I can't believe how quick they are to just say anything negative or hateful if you say anything honest about Donald Trump, for example. And it's just amazing that they're so quick to respond. And I think that they feel totally, totally threatened. And instead of feeling threatened, use that energy to just try to stay on top.
Yeah, the people that we're describing that are just addicted to their own outrage, I feel badly for them because they have no interiority at all. They actually, they have no inner character. They have no inner nature at all. They're just, they lead somewhat meaningless lives. They're boring individuals, and they're helpless in a way. I mean, it's easy to kind of point at them and say, oh, they're jerks or they're mean or whatever, but they're victims, actually, in my view. They are helpless. They're like, I thought about this the other, they're like a single sock in a dryer. Like, you know, when you have just one sock that's going around and around in the dryer, they don't ever see anything except darkness. They never go anywhere. They never impact anything. There's nothing in their lives but darkness and emptiness, and they don't breathe anything but their own hot air. And that's no way to go through life. You know, like no amount of hate will get you out of that cycle. It's not going to bring more love into your life. No amount of you trying to control other people's will break you free of that cycle. No amount of fear and despair will give you the real taste of freedom and joy. And the more we remind people of that, the better off we'll all be.
You know, I think you're right. And it's a sign of insecurity. It's a sign of losing power. You're not losing power. Nobody's taking anything away from you. You know, in life, everybody has to fight for what they want in life, and you have to fight for it too. And everybody should have an equal opportunity in the fight. But this this misogynistic and this anti-gay and anti-black, all of this anti-religion, all of this hate is really the result, I believe, of people who are insecure. And they feel like they're gaining power by being victims. And this is a group of people that thrived on never being victims and criticizing those who played the victim card. They are now playing the victim card out of a sense of desperation. Even though their guy won the presidency, they're still feeling desperate in this attempt to put other people down to try to build themselves up. And the people, some of the people who post on my Scoot on the Air Facebook page, it's like I think they feel like they've got some sense of power. You have no power. You can say whatever you want, but I'm not changing this show. You know, we make adjustments. We evolve as time goes on. But, you know, you don't have it. These are people, I believe, who are desperate for power, and they know they are powerless. And maybe within their own families, maybe within their workplace, they have no sense of power. They have no sense of control. And so they're trying to control other people, and they're trying to control the narrative.
Perfect. That is perfect. I love the way you said that. Don't be a sock. Get out of the dryer.
Exactly.
You know, join a book club. Go meet some new people. Join a union. I don't know. Do anything except try to exercise power over other people by means of just being divisive and hateful and spiteful. And I mean, there's people in the text line who's saying things like, you know, Taylor was only being booed because she's dating Travis Kelce, who's a Chiefs player. And so the Eagles players were booing her for that, or the Eagles fans were booing her for that reason, which may be true. Zoom out. We end up saying it every couple days at this point. The future belongs to those who can connect the dots. And if you're only looking at this one isolated incident, then yeah, you might arrive at that conclusion that it was just about the fact that she's dating Travis Kelce. But look at everything else that's happening in our country right now. All the cultural angst and the, you know, everything flows downhill from culture, politics most of all. And right now, it's just about bashing people, not even because they're so different from you or they exercise power over you, but just because that makes you feel special. That makes you feel a few inches taller if you can bash other people.
That's exactly right. If you have a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. We're coming back with some of your comments and some of your text messages, and we've got a lot to get to this afternoon. Kellen Moore is the Saints' new head coach. This is a new beginning for the Saints. Are you excited? We can comment on that as well. And we're going to play back a brief conversation I have with Kellen Moore when he was in town with the Eagles, who won the Super Bowl. We'll be back on WWL. Yeah, the conversation is still going on about Kendrick Lamar and the halftime show at the Super Bowl here in New Orleans. The game itself was very unpredictable. You know, so many people were thinking it's going to be a really close game, and I thought it was going to be a close game too, but it turned out to be a blowout with the Eagles just sticking it to the Kansas City Chiefs. So that was very unpredictable. But the one thing that was very predictable was the controversy over Kendrick Lamar's halftime show. I knew there would be controversy. We had a caller to the show yesterday, and this caller was outraged that the NFL had selected so many black artists to perform the halftime shows in recent years. And she mentioned Usher and Rihanna and past Kendrick Lamar participations. This was a white woman who was disgusted that white performers seemingly have been ignored. To make the point that many black artists, including black rappers, have strong white audience bases, I asked her if, when growing up, she listened to the Four Tops, and she was quick to say yes, she did. When I then pointed out that black artists that she was complaining about have strong white audiences, she gave the lame reason that the Four Tops, well, that was different. No, it's not different. The woman who was listening to the Four Tops when she was growing up is no different from the young whites listening to Kendrick Lamar, Rihanna, Usher, and other black artists today. There's no difference. You can say the music's different, and it is. But in the context of the times, it's exactly the same. Her lack of appreciation is typical of Americans who seem to believe that everything has to include their taste specifically. The baby boomer generation used to be the largest segment of the U.S. population, and they have been used to defining every era they occupy. But boomers are no longer in that position. They don't hold that power anymore to define everything. Millennials are now the largest part of the population, and they are defining much of pop culture today. The idea that everything must be appealing to me has always been part of the boomer mentality, and it's myopic. It's myopic to still believe that everything must be appealing to boomers, particularly white boomers. When boomers were young, they loved music, and they loved the music of black artists. So did the Beatles, and so did the Rolling Stones and many of the British invasion bands. There seemed to be no separation when it came to music with boomers then, but there is today. Good music was just good music, period. The truth is that every Super Bowl does not have to please everyone in the same way. And think back on The Who performing at halftime when the Saints were in the Super Bowl in Miami. The Who performed. There were a lot of people who thought, this is terrible. This is unrelatable. I don't get it. Why are these old geezers on stage? Why do they have these old guys doing this? So Kendrick Lamar was unrelatable to some people. So what? Everything isn't about you and doesn't have to be. If you don't like Kendrick Lamar, don't watch the halftime show. It's really that simple. But make no mistake about it. You may not like or get Kendrick Lamar, but he is legit. Kendrick Lamar won a Pulitzer Prize for music in 2018. He was the first rapper to headline a Super Bowl halftime show as a solo artist, and that was Sunday afternoon in the Caesars Superdome. And the halftime show drew a lot of critical acclaim. Actor Samuel L. Jackson appeared dressed as Uncle Sam for the halftime show. He helped create the message of Lamar's halftime show. At one point, Uncle Sam criticized Lamar for being too loud, too reckless, too ghetto. That obviously reflected many in the audience who were watching. Uncle Sam also added that Lamar really didn't know how to play the game, and later said, Americans want nice and calm. Kendrick Lamar's halftime performance addressed the inherent conflict between being true to oneself and seeking commercial success, a battle that is not uncommon to many Americans in all walks of life. I admit that Kendrick Lamar's music is not a genre that I prefer, but I still have tremendous respect for him and the rap genre. I appreciate that many loved that halftime show while many hated it and thought it was disgusting. A text came into the show yesterday also saying that Kendrick Lamar's performance was a slap at Donald Trump, who was the first sitting president to attend a Super Bowl. That is typical Trump derangement syndrome. The Trump supporters who played the victim card are just really desperate. Kendrick Lamar was announced to be the Super Bowl halftime show long before Donald Trump won the election, long before it was decided that Donald Trump would be at the Super Bowl. So it would be just stupid to say that it was an insult directed at President Trump. The fact that many hated the halftime show should not be a problem. The fact that many said they didn't understand what Kendrick Lamar was singing and they don't really understand the dancing or the costumes, that's normal, because every young generation has a responsibility to be different from their parents' generation and to define themselves by things their parents don't understand. Yesterday, actually Sunday, was the 61st anniversary of the Beatles' first appearing on The Ed Sullivan Show. So let's go back to that time in history. Young people watched and fell in love with the Beatles. And young American boys tried to copy their hairstyles. Their parents didn't get it, didn't like it. Many of their parents didn't allow them to copy the Beatles' hairstyles. And so the caller who was so disgusted yesterday with the series of black artists performing at the halftime shows at the Super Bowl, let me remind her and anyone else that 2 years ago, Eminem was the headliner, and a year before that, it was The Weeknd. And a year before that, it was Shakira. And the year before that, it was Maroon 5. So the call yesterday was generated by pure hate, by pure white entitlement, by a mentality that everything has to be about me, because I'm white and I'm in America. Now look, this is not about all white Americans, but it is about some. And you and I both know who they are. Black artists, if they have dominated the halftime shows, it's because they're popular. And many young people, many young white Americans love their music, and they have white audience bases. Many of the people complaining about Kendrick Lamar's music are the same people who love the Beatles while their parents condemn them in the same way they are condemning Kendrick Lamar. So it's all normal. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and I still think, yes, of course, some Eagle fans might have been upset because they showed Taylor Swift and she's dating the player from the other team. So some Eagles fans were upset. But this hate that conservatives have, this contempt that conservatives have for Taylor Swift goes back even before she started dating Travis Kelce. There are people who hate anybody who doesn't love the person they love. And those haters are basically disregarding this entire concept upon which America was built. And that is that we have a right to vote for who we want to vote for. We have a right to support who we want to support. And if somebody doesn't support your candidate, if an artist doesn't support your candidate, or if anybody doesn't support your candidate, and you hate them for that reason, you're a very shallow person. That jet that crashed at the Scottsdale Airport in Arizona was owned by Motley Crue lead singer Vince Neil. He wasn't on the jet. One person was killed. Three were injured in that private jet crash. But it was Vince Neil's private jet. There's money in music, man. Some of those guys just have private jets that they can lend people. Oh, you want to borrow the jet? Oh, you need to go somewhere? Hey, borrow my jet. It's like borrowing a cup of sugar for some people. All right, we're going to get to a couple of your calls in just a moment. Let's go to Egan with some of your text messages.
I'll be swift here. Here's a text that says, Scoot, the only hole in your theory about Swift getting booed because of politics is that people and football fans in general were already quite annoyed with her and the media coverage of her being at the games and getting more attention than she deserves. I would agree that the negativity got exacerbated after she endorsed the comms, Kamala, but I think enough people have Tay fatigue, regardless of her politics. And by the way, Snoop Dogg has been getting a lot of hate lately from the hardcore liberals. So I guess the political hate for those who don't think the same way can go both ways.
Look, I understand that. And, you know, people hate winners. You know, people were hating on the Kansas City Chiefs because they were constantly winning. Taylor Swift is a winner. She is so successful that a lot of people might hate her just because she's successful. So I get all of that. But I just saw everything really ramp up a couple of years ago when she endorsed some Democrats for office and then endorsed anybody but Trump. And she started in country music, and a lot of people are still under the false impression that country music is just music for conservatives, music for white America, and that's not true. It's changed a lot. There are gays who are openly performing on the country stages across this country. African Americans are performing, and so it's changing, again, much to the chagrin of many people who just want it to be just the way it used to be, Well, change is the basis of everything, and things change. So, you know, I know that there might be different reasons for the hate, but don't underestimate that politics is part of that.
Here's a text that says, the NFL is about gaining new fans, young fans. So the halftime show is for them, not for older people. Older people watch the game, younger people watch the halftime, and then they stick around for the game. That's how you grow your fan base. Who cares what color they were? It's just who generates money.
I agree. It's so true. And Taylor Swift, I mean, if you look at female interest, I want to say it's up just over 20% female interest in the NFL.
That's what I read.
Since Taylor Swift started dating Travis Kelce.
Yeah, you have 20% more female viewers of your product in the last 18 to 24 months, strictly because Taylor Swift has started becoming part of the process. More people like your thing, you know. I'll leave you with this one, this text. I think it's funny that the people who are against DEI and inclusion whine about people like them not being included in the halftime show.
Boy, that is so ironic. Let's go to New Orleans. Wayne, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoop. This is Wayne. And, hey, man, I heard your comment about the culture and the performance and people attitude, their hatred for, you know, just because they're filled with hate. Because in order for you to hate, you have to be filled with hate. And even though you may have an opinion, everybody has an opinion, but it shouldn't be where that you hate an individual or the culture just because it sort of like drifting away from you. But I wanted to tell you, man, you was dead on your comment. I appreciate your comment, your thoughts, because you have truly spoken to the current climate as it is. And I am truly sorry that you see the manifestation of hate that just running rampant, and you have the individual that is occupying the presidency that truly has allowed or have shown such contempt. And now everybody feels believe that they are entitled to show such contempt without any restraint.
Yeah. You know, Wayne, I appreciate the call, and I do appreciate your comments. You know, there are some things happening right now, and we haven't talked about them in depth on the show yet. I'm sure at some point we may do that, but you know, there are some things going on that make me question whether or not Donald Trump really respects the Constitution. And there are signs that Donald Trump wants to be an autocrat, that Donald Trump wants to circumvent the Constitution, ignore it, and just be a ruler. And that is congruent with his personality in the business world, where he was sort of a ruler. His business world wasn't run by democracy. He was a ruler. So he's trying to, it seems like he may be carrying this into the White House. But look, I'm going to say this again. I hope, because he's president, I hope Donald Trump succeeds. And I hope he takes care of the border. And I hope he gets inflation down. But there are things beyond what a president can do that guide inflation. And as I said during the campaign, and I got bashed for this, Donald Trump, as president, can't just make inflation go away. Oh, you're just saying that because you hate Trump. No, I'm saying that because presidents just don't have that power. There's too many things that can go on, like the bird flu and other things. So it's very naive to think that a president can control inflation. So Donald Trump, I don't blame him for not controlling inflation, but I pointed out during the campaign that he's just not going to be able to do it. But he said he would because he was just trying to get the votes. And that's what they do. Politicians will say anything just to get our votes. All right, you got to let's go to New Orleans and Dan. You're on WWL. Hey, Dan.
Hey, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm all over the place here in my thoughts and in my emotions. I want to say when I first heard you say the reason why they booed Taylor Swift, I was very disappointed. Because I know you're very, very logical, very sensible man, and a lot of times you're spot on politically. And that example you use with the lady with the you know, what kind of music did she like, the white lady, when she was growing up? And she said, you know, the Temptations. That was a great logical example that she was being contradictory. What's going on today and what went on and when she was a young person. So mm-hmm. that made a lot of sense. Well, I want to say this. Understand this, that Taylor Swift has become almost an unofficial mascot for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, they are always constantly, even football yeah. fans have complained about how much they have shown her during the games, the broadcast yeah, of the games
okay,
in
wait,
general.
But I'm going to have to get to a break here, but I got to address that. Those people who are complaining about Taylor Swift distracting from the game are just looking for a reason to hate her because she's not distracting from the game. They don't show her during plays. They show her after plays. They never show her when a play is going on. So I don't know what they're complaining about.
Well, I know one thing. A lot of people obviously must support her and love her. She's very successful. Her record sales and her concerts sellouts suggest that she's not lacking support. But it's just a phenomenon of life. Some people love you. Some yeah. people hate you. Yeah. But she's a very successful artist. So she's not lacking any love from the public. No. However, there are some people who are not totally excited about her. And that could also be a generational thing. Yeah. Who knows?
Well, Dan, look, I'm glad you brought that up. And somebody mentioned earlier that a lot of the people booing her may have been Eagles fans. And I don't doubt that. They were Eagle fans hating her because, she, you know, you're right. She's a mascot for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the hate toward Taylor Swift from the right-wing radicals started before she became a mascot, before she started dating Travis Kelce. All right, Kid Rock got really pissed. He was on stage at John Bon Jovi's bar in Nashville, and he complained the crowd wasn't clapping enough. So he said, you know what? F y'all. You're not going to clap. I'm gone. And he walked off the stage. What a little entitlement brat. Entitled brat. Anyway, I do kind of like Kid Rock, but that's a shame that he walked off the stage. We'll be back. I encountered two in particular. I mean, I saw a number of them, but I kind of had words with two of them. I'm talking about the Jesus freaks on the street. Did you encounter Jesus freaks on the street for the Super Bowl? Look, I know why they're here during Mardi Gras, because it's debauchery in the streets. There's sin going on everywhere. I know why they're here for Halloween. There's sin going on everywhere. It's kind of a sinful holiday in some ways. But why were they here for the Super Bowl? Why were they all up in arms about people going to a damn football game? I mean, I guess they just wanted to be in front of people. But let me tell you, some of those Jesus freaks are not good people. And I'll tell you, I think Jesus himself would call them out. We're going to do that in the next hour. And I'd like to know if you had any encounters with the Jesus freaks on the street. It's Tuesday afternoon. I'm Scoot, and we will be back. And remember, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Good afternoon. We continue to talk a little bit about Taylor Swift being booed at the Super Bowl game. And we also are talking a little bit more about the halftime show with Kendrick Lamar. Still more comments coming in about that. A new poll shows that Donald Trump's approval rating is among the highest of either of his terms in the White House. So he's doing really well. 53% of Americans approve of the job that Trump is doing at this point, and this is from a CBS News YouGov poll. The approval rating is among the highest that Trump has seen when he's in office. And aren't you glad to hear that Scrim, the runaway dog, is back? I mean, Chris Mueller had that in the news a few minutes ago, and man, this dog has just escaped more than once, and has been gone for a long time, and then they found him. I mean, obviously, this dog knows how to make it on his own. I mean, he's out there in the real world without an owner, just, seeking his freedom and doing whatever he wants to do. I mean, God knows how many female dogs he's encountered in his running around the city. But the mixed terrier is back in custody. I mean, I guess he kind of looks at it like he's in jail. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm glad you're with us. This hour, we're going to talk about some of the Jesus freaks in the streets of New Orleans. During the Super Bowl, and I encountered a few of them. Did you? And what did you think of the Jesus freaks in the street? We'll be talking about that. Also, congratulations to Jefferson Parish, celebrating a bicentennial, 200 years old. And there will be a lot of celebrating of that going on really throughout the entire year. Before we get back to your calls and more of your text messages, it's time for Scoot's News Briefs. The Trump White House has ordered corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams to be dropped.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams thanks President Trump's Justice Department for ordering the local bribery case against him dismissed and is pledging to regain the trust of voters.
I absolutely never traded my power as an elected official for any personal benefit.
The U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan had called the case against the Democrats strong. Adams had called it political.
We can put this cruel episode behind us and focus entirely on the future of our city. It's time to move forward.
Trump's acting Deputy Attorney General Emil Bove on Monday directed federal prosecutors to dismiss the charges, saying they were disrupting the mayor's ability to assist in Trump's crackdown on immigration and crime. Julie Walker, New York.
Really interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. A lot of people think that that was the wrong move, but I guess Donald Trump felt like he could really relate to Eric Adams. But trust that there's something in this for Trump, or he wouldn't have done it. President Trump says he's going to do it. He's going to change the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Now Google Maps has obliged and has officially changed the name on Google Maps to the Gulf of America.
The Gulf of Mexico is now called the Gulf of America for Google Maps users in the United States. That keeps with the terms of President Trump's controversial executive order to rename the body of water. Google says it has a longstanding practice of applying name changes when they've been updated in official government sources. But users in Mexico will continue to see the basin's earlier title, the Gulf of Mexico. Google says its Maps users everywhere else in the world will see both names. Matt Piper, CBS News.
You know, I mentioned when this controversy first came up, I mentioned that Mexico shares greater shoreline with the Gulf than does America. There's more Mexican shoreline with the Gulf than there is shoreline with America. But look, you know, you and I, when we go over to any place along the Gulf, you know, Destin, Fort Walton, Pensacola, Gulf Shores, anywhere along that area, the Mississippi Gulf Coast. We just call it the Gulf, you know. Hey, let's go swimming in the Gulf. I mean, we don't formally call it the Gulf of Mexico, so I don't think people are going to start saying, hey, let's go swimming in the Gulf of America. Well, I don't know. Some people might. The systems of checks and balances that our founding fathers developed to control the sharing of power between branches of government is working, and Republicans don't like it.
The House's top Republican says the legal system needs to back off for now over the Trump administration's efforts to slash federal spending. Speaker Mike Johnson says he wholeheartedly agrees with Vice President J.D. Vance, who has criticized courts for trying to control President Trump's power.
The courts should take a step back and allow these processes to play out.
That came as several judges issued rulings temporarily halting some Trump actions.
Judges appointed by Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and Donald Trump himself.
California Democrat Ted Lieu says it's clear the administration's acting illegally and the legal system is working. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Steve Bannon pleaded guilty to ripping off donors who donated money to build the wall at the southern border.
Steve Bannon avoids jail time by pleading guilty to a fraud charge for duping donors who gave money to build a wall along the U.S. southern border. After court, he was asked how he feels.
How you feeling? Like $1 million.
The ally of President Trump calls the case political persecution and wants New York prosecutors investigated.
I'm calling on right now the Attorney General Pam Bondi to begin an immediate criminal investigation into Letitia James, Alvin Bragg.
Bannon calls State Attorney General Letitia James and Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg the biggest threat to President Trump and his agenda. Bragg's office charged Bannon in state court after Trump pardoned him in 2021. Julie Walker, New York.
I mean, I'm kind of laughing. Steve Bannon says, you know, I feel like $1 million. But is that about how much you rip people off for? I mean, I'm kind of laughing. But it's really sad that, you know, people gave money to this man to build the wall. And I bet there are a lot of Americans who are poor. You know, they're working paycheck to paycheck. A lot of blue collar workers. a lot of maybe even retired Americans who are older, and they gave money to Steve Bannon, and he ripped them off. The money didn't go to build the wall. He stole their money. And if just one person is saved as a result of this, then that's good. We can't save everyone. Some people are still going to be brainwashed. But if this saves one person, it's well worth it. President Trump is doubling down on his plan for America to take over the Gaza Strip, and he says that we don't even need to buy the land. We can just take it.
We're not going to buy anything. We're going to have it, and we're going to keep it, and we're going to make sure that there's going to be peace, and there's not going to be any problem, and nobody's going to question it, and we're going to run it very properly, and eventually we'll have economic development at a very large scale, maybe the largest scale on that site. I think it's going to be something that's going to be magnificent for the Palestinians. They're going to be in love with it. I did very well with real estate. I can tell you about real estate. They're going to be in love with it.
It's going to be so big, nobody's ever seen anything like this before. You know, I don't know. Can we just take it? He says nobody's going to question it. Well, I think there are going to be a few people who question it. And I'm wondering, is the day going to come when we hear about commercials of, the Trump Resort, where you can, just sun yourself on the beaches of the Mediterranean in Gaza, while gunshots and bombs provide a soundtrack while you're sunbathing or getting a massage or drinking a pina colada on the beach. You know, look, I don't doubt that that's some pretty nice property, and it's a shame that a lot of really beautiful property in America, not in America, around the world, a lot of beautiful property is marred with war and destruction. So that's a shame. I would love for the U.S. to be able to go in there and create a peaceful situation. So if he can do that and do it, within international laws, great. All right. The nation's leading producer of soft drinks says it can handle Trump's 25% tariff on aluminum.
In releasing its financial results for the fourth quarter, Coca-Cola says it's confident it can deal with the Trump administration's 25% tariff on aluminum. The Atlanta-based company says it will shift its suppliers and rely more heavily on plastic bottles. Coke reported that case volumes rose 2%, reversing a slide from the third quarter.
All right, that's it for Scoot's news briefs. Let's go to Bob in Tarrytown. Bob, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, man. I had a problem last week when when Trump announced that he was stopping all medical supplies and vaccines to South Africa. And they asked him the reason why. He said because South Africans is taking the land and killing people. And I had never heard that on the news lately. So I listened to the president of South Africa, and he said that wasn't happening. He said what they're talking about is something that's in their constitution where white people, who represent 7% of the population in South Africa, own 70% of the land. And the government is not taking their land from them or nothing like that. They're being reasonable, and they just divide it up like it's supposed to, and even paying some of them. So then I thought about why Trump is doing this. He never visits South Africa. And then I realized that Elon Musk and his partner, who's the head of Trump's fundraising campaign's name is Thiel, I think, T-H-E-I-L. Well, him and Musk, they both from South Africa. And then I start thinking, I say, well, he must be filing their orders because both of these guys, they were in South Africa during the apartheid era. So it's apparent that they don't like the government of South Africa because they stopped apartheid. And these are his two main people who is backing him up. And then also, I start thinking about this. They said since Trump was elected, Musk money, he's in group $200 million since the election. And then also, it's kind of odd how Trump doubled his fortunes while he wasn't president. All of these things point to all you have is Trump is trying to do a couple things. One thing, the money. He always got the money. He's trying to make the money. And secondly, he wants to control everything. And when we're controlling it, it's going back to a type of government like apartheid, like they had in South Africa. And I don't know why the people don't see this. It's crazy that the people don't see what Trump is doing. And the last thing I have to say is, when Trump does something against the Constitution or tells these House of Representatives or even these military people to do something they know is unconstitutional, isn't it their duty not to do it? Because I was in the military, and if a commander gave you an order that went against the Constitution, you didn't have to do it. In fact, you were supposed not to do it. So tell me what's happening.
Well, Bob, you know, you bring up a lot of different things that I don't know what's happening. I mean, I wish I did. I see things happening, but I don't know for sure what's happening, and I certainly don't know how it's going to all end. I'm going to be optimistic about all of this, but you know, it does seem as if Donald Trump is enforcing a dictatorial, authoritarian attitude that he had when he was a businessman, and he wants to carry that into the White House. And when you're president of the United States, you are beholden to things that don't allow you to be a dictator. But let's see if he respects those things over time. Let's see if the system is strong enough to keep him in check and make sure that he doesn't cross over the line. So we really have to wait and see. In an interview with Fox News's Bret Baier on the Fox News channel, Donald Trump did not like to hear from Bret Baier that Kamala Harris got 75 million votes. And Trump kept trying to double back. Yeah, but I won the seven. I won seven key states, and I won them by a lot. Well, maybe he did, but Kamala Harris still got 75 million votes. And when Trump lost, people were talking about how many millions of people voted for Donald Trump. So there's nothing wrong with people now talking about how many millions of people did not vote for Donald Trump and voted for Kamala Harris. But Trump really doesn't want to hear that, and he wants to pretend that it was a landslide. We're just speaking about the facts here. And Trump won. He won fairly, and he won the Electoral College. But the popular vote was very, very close. And there are a lot of Americans who don't like Trump. And as I've said many times, even a lot of Americans who voted for Trump don't like him. They voted for him because they didn't feel like they had another good option. So anyway, Trump is president of the United States, but he doesn't like to hear that Kamala Harris got 75 million votes. But, you know, that's a fact. That's not anybody's opinion. Hey, did you run into any of those people on the streets of New Orleans during the Super Bowl?
Jesus is going to save you. Just come to Jesus. Read the book. Jesus will save you. Jesus will save your mortal soul. You're sinning. You're sinners. You could die tonight. Jesus will save you.
Did you run to any of those people?
Sir, this is a Wendy's. Can we take your order in here?
Did you want fries with that salvation?
I did. I saw a bunch of those people downtown, and I just ignore them. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't engage with them. I guess you could, but I don't know what good that's going to do either party. So I just keep on walking.
Well, okay. Here's what bothered me. At one point, this guy on Canal Street around the Sheraton was just screaming,
"Jesus is going to save you. You could die tonight."
And he pointed his megaphone or microphone down or whatever. Down there were some young kids walking by, maybe 5, 7 years old. And here's this grown man saying, "You could die tonight." And I turned to him and I said, "Will you just stop scaring these kids?" And I even looked at the kids who were walking with their dad and I said, "Hey, guys, you're not going to die tonight." Now, I mean, I don't know for sure. Maybe they, you know, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. So I guess it's always possible. But the chances of these kids dying at that night is very minuscule. But these people are out scaring people. And they're not doing the work of God. They're not doing the work of Jesus, in my opinion. They are sinners, and they're really just evil, bad people. And so then there was another guy. Man, he was sweating like a, I don't know, like a horse plowing a field in the middle of August. I mean, this guy was a sweaty pig. He was just drenched. And he said something to me about, as I walked by, about being gay. Well, I went back and talked to him. I'll tell you a little bit about that conversation when we come back. Did you encounter any of the Jesus freaks in the street? Some of them were okay. Some of them were just doing the job of spreading the gospel. But a lot of these people are just bad. They're evil people. And they're not doing the work of any God that I know. They're not doing the work of the Jesus I know. And I don't think there's anything wrong with calling them out. And why were they here during the Super Bowl? What's sinful about going to a damn football game? Anyway, I was outraged because there were a lot of them out there. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back with more.
On WWL, the station that will save your mortal soul. Come to Jesus. Reject your sinful ways. Jesus will take you to the promised land. Jesus will save you from hell and damnation. Set yourself right. Reject the humble lifestyle. And hey, don't be gay. You're gay. Don't be gay.
That's what a guy said to me as I walked by. Something like, you know, don't be gay and you're gay. Man, I stopped dead in my tracks on Decatur. I turned around and I got as close as I could. The guy was a sweaty slob. And because he was all worked up. And I said, you're calling me gay? He goes, yes, you're gay. You were born a woman. I said, wait, you're telling me I was born a woman? Yes, you were born. Well, yes. Wait, where is it? Yes. I don't have it working now.
Yes, you were born a woman.
Dude, I'm a man, but I'm not about to prove it to you right here and now. And so between the guy who's like scaring these children walking by saying, you might die tonight. You got to come to Jesus. I mean, kids don't know what you're talking about with that. And look, I was a really insecure kid and, you know, with obsessive compulsive disorder that, you know, made it my insecurities even worse. I would have taken that seriously, and I may not have even talked to my dad about it, but I would have thought, I might die tonight? I might die? I mean, I that would have, honestly, because there were things like that that happened to me in my life, that would have ruined my day. And those people are not serving God by doing that. And then this guy's telling me I was born a woman? I mean, I'm standing there face to face talking to the man. And he's telling me, in front of other people, that I was born a woman. What bothered me, I mean, I can take it, but what bothered me is that this person is obviously wrong, and they're using false information to try to scare people. The God I know doesn't want to scare you into loving him or her. And these scare tactics need to be denounced by these Jesus freaks, because that's what they are. They're Jesus freaks in the street. Did you encounter any? You know, they're really loud, and there were a few that got kind of aggressive. I had a couple of people text me and tell me that there were some people who got sort of aggressive. I mean, not physically aggressive, but like really in their face. And I just think it's a shame. Now, look, these people have a right to do this. But we also have a right to denounce what they do. And when you're out this Mardi Gras 2025, and you're wearing the nice Mardi Gras apparel you got from Logo Express and MardiGrasApparel.com, don't listen to these people. Ignore them. They're going to have the bullhorns. They're going to have the giant crosses on Bourbon Street. And a lot of you I know are not going to ever go to Bourbon Street. But these people, in my opinion, are the biggest sinners on Bourbon Street. And I just think it's a damn shame. And you don't need to go around telling people that they're going to die tonight, especially kids. And you shouldn't be, you know, of the belief that I was born a woman. I mean, what, you're using that just because you want to make a case for yourself, because your case is so pathetically shallow that the only thing that you can do is yell and scream and present blasphemy? This is wrong. This is absolutely wrong. And I'm telling you, these people I think there's a good chance. I don't know, because none of us know. You don't know and I don't know. You can believe things. You can have faith that certain things are going to happen, but you don't know. Because nobody has gone to God and come back and said, this is the way it is. Nobody. This is all based on faith. They can have their faith. But if they're going to scare people, if they're going to present false prophecy, then I think they should be denounced and called out. They have a freedom to do it. But we also have a freedom to call them out. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okunhard Jewelers talking text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Ian with a couple of your text messages.
Here's a text that says, the Jesus freaks bombarded the square and knocked a bunch of Jackson Square artists' paintings off the fence.
Wow.
We asked them to move away from our art and they refused. So we called the cops. The cops were unable to do anything. There were just two cops and about 30 Jesus freaks with guns.
The Jesus freaks had guns?
That's what it sounds like.
Well, because we've got open carry, so I guess they could have guns if they wanted to. But these are bad people. These are just evil, sinful people, and they should be called out, and they're Jesus freaks. And I detest them. They're just disgusting examples of humanity to me. They're not even human. They're subhuman people. They're scum. And I can think of other words, but I can't use them on the radio. But I hate these people. I hate them. I hate them because of what they do. And I hate them because of what they represent.
Here's a text that says, I saw some of those crazy zealots outside of St. Louis Cathedral one Mardi Gras. They had that big sign listing all the people going to hell. The list included the Jews. I shouted in a very loud, obnoxious voice directed at anyone within hearing distance, look at that. The Jews are going to hell. That really sucks for Jesus and his mom.
Great point. Great point.
Let's jump around here. Here is Rusty. He says, yeah, Scoot, I would be offended. If someone said I was born a woman, I would be like, damn, I need to get in the gym. I don't even look like a man. What the hell? LOL, those people just want to be heard and they love to argue. It's like keyboard warriors saying whatever, but they're saying whatever they're... It's like keyboard warriors saying whatever, but they're actually doing it in real life. Don't even entertain them.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to do a better job of that. But, you know, sometimes I just can't help it. And I tell you what I'm going to do during Mardi Gras. I'm going to go down there with my microphone, and I'm going to do a video of me talking to them. And I'm going to start out, I'm going to be very calm. I'm going to let them go off. But I'm going to expose these Jesus freaks during Mardi Gras for what they really are. And if you have any sympathy for these people, again, some people are out there, they're not the Jesus freaks. Some people are out there, they're talking about the Bible and prophecy and all that kind of stuff. I don't agree with doing it in that way, but there's some people out there who are doing that. But then there are the Jesus freaks. And if you have any empathy for these people, you need to stop having empathy for them because they're evil SOBs and they're scum of the earth. And they're not representing Jesus. They're not representing God. And I'm going to expose them for what they are during Mardi Gras.
When you go out there, maybe you'll get an opportunity to ask them, when was the last time that you actually did anything to help out a marginalized person? Because the message is, you know, love your neighbor. We're all God's children. Everyone is welcome. And is all that. All of that collapses the instant that any marginalized person has any actual needs. Like, as soon as that becomes anything more than just talk, these people just run away from that as fast as they can. To them, loving their neighbors is only possible if they aren't one of those icky groups like the queer people or the immigrants or the addicts or the homeless or whatever. So I'm just curious to know if you get an opportunity to interview one, hey, that's cool that you're out here on Jackson Square making everybody uncomfortable. When was the last time you actually did anything to help somebody?
Oh, I'm going to definitely get an opportunity to talk to them, and I'm going to expose them for what they are. So, you know, again, if you haven't joined me yet, join the Scoot on the Air Facebook page and comment on what we post, and also feel free to comment on some of the comments. And I did a video about this. I'll share some of the comments with you a little bit later, and also some comments about the Kendrick Lamar halftime show, also posted on SOTA Facebook. And a lot of this is also posted on the WWL Radio Facebook page as well. So, if you want to join us, the Okunhard Jewelers talking text line is 504-260-1870.
This is God. To all of the Jesus freaks, shut the F up.
This is one of my favorite songs, and I remember once I was going to an appearance, and I was in my Corvette. It was a beautiful day. The top was down, and I was at a stoplight at the corner of West Esplanade and Causeway, and I heard this song, and it changed my life. What I realized at that moment in my life in the mid-80s was that I really didn't love myself. I was surrounded by a lot of things, a lot of great things. I was on B97. In some ways, I was on top of the world at the time, but I didn't really love myself. And this song brought me to tears. Beautiful afternoon, top down, Corvette, corner of West Esplanade and Causeway. I'll never forget it. And I heard the lyrics to this song, and I'd been playing it on the air, but the lyrics just hit me at that moment in time. And it realized that I got to love me. And it changed my life. It's just a profound song. And sadly, this is the day in 2012 that Whitney Houston was found dead in the bathtub in her suite at the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. She was scheduled to appear at Clive Davis's annual pre-Grammy party later that night. She was 48 years old, face down in the tub. Paramedics could not revive her. The death was ruled an accidental drowning with heart disease, cocaine use, contributing factor, and also she was taking prescription medication and using cocaine. And I don't know whether she would have gone in this direction before she met Bobby Brown, but Bobby Brown seemed to change her life. And what a waste, because that was one beautiful woman with one beautiful, beautiful voice. Irvin from Hammond, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Let me touch on the Jesus freaks, and then I'll go to Kendrick. You got to punch these people where it hurts with Bible verses. Judge not, lest ye be judged.
Yeah.
Who amongst us is free of sin? Let them cast the first stone. You know, and just see how hypocritical a two-faced they really are.
Yeah, I might bring my Bible.
Good. Yeah. The halftime show is purely economics. It's a business model. Amazon Music sponsored the halftime. They paid the bills. They're a streaming service that caters to preteens, teens, and young adults mostly. So who you think they're going to pick for an artist? They're trying to build their business model.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, Irvin, because the people who are complaining, they don't care about them because they're not part of their business model.
Yeah. So let me add this to my conservative friends. If you want to move the needle back over to the right, let's start calling Todd Graves, a multi-billionaire who has eclipsed Miss Benson as the richest person in the state. You know, he could sponsor the halftime. Chick-fil-A, one of those other corporates. I mean, whoever gets the money up and sponsors the halftime is going to decide the music venue. I'll give it to you.
Irvin, I think it's a great point. It's really about the money. And, you know, when Nike does something controversial, they don't care about the people who complain, because most of the people who are complaining are not their customers. So they don't care. They care about the other people who are buying their products. And the same thing with the halftime show. You know, this is an outlet that is going to benefit from Kendrick Lamar, and the people who like Kendrick Lamar, the people who are complaining are not as big a customers as the others, so they really don't care. All right, we've got to get to a break here because we've got the Tuesday text-off coming up, and the Tuesday text-off is going to be in honor of Whitney Houston, who was found dead in a bathtub at a suite at the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles on this day in 2012. And I remember that day well. Just such a sad, sad day. And really, that song, The Greatest Love of All, if you have questions about yourself, if you have questions about loving yourself, be somewhere alone. At home, in the car, somewhere. Be somewhere alone and listen to the lyrics of that song. And, you know, even back then, there were people who didn't like me. I mean, no matter what you do, not everybody likes you. I mean, even when I was on B97, some people thought I sucked. That's okay. It's part of life. But, man, I always learned that, you know what? If I believe in myself and if I do it my way, I'm going to succeed. And, boy, that has just been the way that I have continued to run my life and run my career. And I'm telling you, it works. And I do talk about sometimes the criticism that I receive. It's more about the fact that people love to complain and people love to hate rather than what is actually being targeted to me, because I can take it. But there's a phenomenon going on in America in terms of just the degree of hate that is, you know, pretty phenomenal. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1989, this was the number one song in America from a former Lakers girl, Paula Abdul. And boy, the choreography in this video was unbelievable. She was amazing. You know, I had a date with a Laker girl once, and I know we got to get to a break. I had a date with a Laker girl once, and I went to Los Angeles. We had a date after the game, and I went up to my hotel room, and you're going to lose respect for me. You are going to lose respect for me. Had this Laker girl in my hotel room, and, you know, we just talked. We didn't boink. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, it's time for the Tuesday Text Off. We've got Song A and Song B. And in honor of today being the day that Whitney Houston was found dead in 2012, I thought we would take two of her songs, two completely different songs from Whitney Houston. And in my opinion, she was just extraordinarily beautiful and had an extraordinary voice. She was amazing. And I am so sorry that she's gone. And in part, I'm still kind of mad at Bobby Brown, even though I know she made her own decisions. I'm still kind of mad at him. Anyway, in honor of her, we're going to take two songs, Song A and Song B. So you decide which is better, Song A or Song B. Here is Song A. All right, that is Song A. Whichever song you like best, whichever Whitney Houston song you think is the best, text A or B to the Okunart text line. Here is Song B. Which Whitney Houston song do you like the best, Song A or Song B? Text A or B right now to the Okunart text line, 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Song A or Song B, which was better? We'll have the results coming up right after the news at 3 o'clock. I'm Scoot on WWL. Man, it feels like springtime out there. We're going to get some rain tomorrow, but it's going to cool off and feel a little bit more like, February in this part of the country. I only hope these really nice days stay with us for the parading this Mardi Gras 2025. You know, we're hearing about a chance of rain on Saturday. Man, don't change any plans. We'll know more about that over the next couple of days, but I'm hoping that everything works out fine for the couple of parades that are rolling Saturday evening. All right, let's do the results of the Tuesday text off. This is the day in 2012 that Whitney Houston was found dead, submerged in a tub in her suite at the Beverly Hills Hilton Hotel in Beverly Hills. And just a really, really sad day. And I remember this day. So beautiful, such a beautiful, beautiful voice. So we took two of her songs. Which Whitney Houston song do you like the most? Song A was I Want to Dance with Somebody. Love that song. And Song B was I Will Always Love You. That was from, of course, The Bodyguard. Yeah, The Bodyguard. And she was really great in that movie with Kevin Costner. By far, the choice was Song B. I like I Want to Dance with Somebody better as a song, but I like the way she expresses and uses her voice in this song better, so I'm okay that B won by a landslide. Oop. I'm Scoot on the Air. I'm glad you're with us. WWL Sports Director Steve Geller joins us in the studio.
How's it going?
Let's talk about Kellen Moore. He's the new head coach of the Saints, just seen as a guru when it comes to offense. He's very, very young. And, you know, you can be a very successful offensive or defensive coordinator, but not necessarily be a great head coach.
Correct.
Obviously, they feel like there's something in him that will make him a good head coach.
Yeah, that's what we need to find out next is we know that he's got the mind for the analytics and the play calling of the game. Now does he have that inner, you know, chutzpah to lead a team? Will guys be able to want to follow him and anxious to hear when the next press conference will be in New Orleans? The team flew out there today to Philadelphia to finalize the contract with him. We don't know any details of years or money yet from it. And I'm curious to know as well, now that he's becoming the 19th head coach in Saints franchise history and it's a done deal, does he stick around for the celebration on Valentine's Day, which is Friday in Philadelphia? Or does he come back here immediately and start getting ready the NFL Combine's approaching, so he's got to get his staff and office together and, you know, start getting a draft board together.
You know, I wouldn't blame him if he stays, and I don't think anybody should look upon that negatively.
I can see it either way.
Like he doesn't
right.
care. Yeah, because he's going to, you know, it's a difference of a couple of days, so I think he'll have time to do it. I want to replay just a brief conversation that I had with him, and now that we know he's got the job, let's listen to how he answers a couple of the questions that I asked him. And I started out by saying, Kellen, how was your last conversation with the Saints?
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, really have enjoyed the opportunity to meet with those guys, a couple weeks ago. And so, it's been a good process.
It's a really interesting position for you to be in here in the Super Bowl, and yet you're also being considered as maybe head coach for the Saints.
It's been a fun process. Obviously, we know how rare and challenging it is to get in these positions to be competing in the Super Bowl. And so the focus is all there, having fun doing that and excited for the opportunity.
I mean, you can't help but kind of look around while you're here and think, well, what if I lived here?
We'll see what happens.
What makes you special? Why are you in this position of being a play caller for a team that's in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you surround yourself with great people, people that work their tails off, that collaborate, and you can do special things when that happens.
Why do so many teams run the first play right up the middle?
It's a mentality of this game.
Good luck Sunday.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, and the first play the Eagles ran was up the middle.
Kellen Moore definitely has coach speak down. Answered your questions, but didn't say too much.
Right. Well, he couldn't, and I understand.
Exactly. The rules behind it. The Saints didn't want to lose draft picks for quote-unquote tampering, which is... It seems a bit silly in these days and times where it was the worst-kept secret that he was going to become the next head coach.
But I wanted to touch him with the idea, okay, you couldn't help but look around and think, what would you like to live here? And I think his laugh told us a little bit now that we look back
on that. Right, the laugh and the we'll see.
Yeah. So what's going to be his biggest challenge?
Definitely now we'll find out the staff he's going to be assembling and then breaking down the Saints roster, who he wants to keep around. There's been a lot of speculation with the quarterback position and some of the other aging veterans on this roster, like a Cam Jordan, Tyrann Mathieu, DeMario Davis. Is it time for the Saints to completely do a reset and kind of, you know, rip the Band-Aid off and try to get the salary cap settled for 2016, or do they they keep some of these names around? There's been, like I said, tons of speculation already just with quarterback and Derek Carr. They're curious to find out what Kellen Moore's plan is going to be for the signal caller. What's really funny is when he was a senior in college, Derek Carr was a sophomore. So they played against each other once, and Kellen Moore's team ended up whooping him.
Wow. So Kellen Moore in these negotiations could be talking about things like, I get to pick who the quarterback is.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And Mickey Loomis even made that abundantly clear that whoever was going to be the next head coach of the Saints, they weren't going to have any restraints on what they could or couldn't do. You don't want to come into a situation going, well, we want you to coach this team, but, well, you got to keep so-and-so around because blah, blah, blah. If this isn't his guy, we saw Sean Payton do that after a year in Denver with a guy like Russell Wilson. Denver had to eat a bunch of money. But after one season, even playing with Russell Wilson at quarterback, he's like, I can't do this, and had to cut him loose.
Yeah. So when it comes to the Saints negotiating with the coach, this has nothing to do with salary cap. They can pay whatever they want to pay.
No, the player's salary cap definitely different from the head coaching salary cap. Thank goodness.
Yeah. So they can go after him. They can offer him money. They can assemble a great staff. I mean, they've got the money. I mean, Gail Benson has the money
to offer
people.
And I'm hoping too with this situation, we know that the Saints aren't in the most ideal situation right now when it comes to maybe an older roster. They have draft capital at least going into this year, but their salary cap situation to address it, you know, guys in free agency or pay some guys to stay around on this roster isn't the greatest situation. So hopefully they give him some time to build this up. We've seen so many cases around the NFL where owners end up pulling the trigger after 1 year even with guys, not giving them a chance to really establish things. I don't think that's the Saints' way, though, and really excited to see a 36-year-old offensive mind coming in. Hopefully he can have some great success and bring this team back to the promised land of at least the playoffs right now.
I mean, he's not even old enough to stay up after the streetlights go on.
It is funny. It's such a baby face, and it's like, wow. I mean, when you're older than the head coach, it kind of slaps you in the face a bit.
Yeah, he'll change over time. Why do you think he's so special at what he does?
It's definitely the fact he's grown up in the game. His dad was a high school football coach, so he kind of basically eat, drink, breathe, sleep it constantly, being around his father. I love a story of one of the recruiters saying they came to check him out, Boise State, getting him in. The college recruiter said that the interview process was unbelievable because he ran to his room and came out with a stack of plays. Like, this is a quarterback they're recruiting to come to college, and he already had, like, a bunch of play ideas in mind. So this is something that's just been in his head. It's part of his DNA, I feel like, and definitely excited to see what he can do with the Saints team. Now, I wish he could bring the Eagles offensive line with him, but the fact that you have a young creative mind behind things right now, we'll see who he gets as defensive coordinator and hopefully can steer this black and gold ship back into the playoffs.
Well, we saw what the Texans did with a new coach and a rookie quarterback. We saw what the Denver Broncos did with a rookie quarterback. We've seen what now, of course, Jaden Daniels is exceptional, but we saw what the Commanders did with a rookie quarterback. So a lot of things can be done with a rookie quarterback, and I don't think we should, like, you know, be afraid to go with that. And I'm not sure that he's going to be afraid to go with that if that's the best choice.
No, it's going to be interesting to see what he thinks about the guys that are on the roster, not just the Derek Carr, even a Spencer Rattler and a Jake Haener. Yeah. But the NFL draft isn't really considered a impressive one for the QB class this year, so we'll see what happens there. Unless there's someone, who knows, he might have his eye on someone and says, you know, this is the guy I want leading my team. And I think the Saints will definitely try to accommodate Kellen in any way they can to try and get him his guy, whether it's, you know, in the draft, free agency. It's just going to be a little bit of a process, like I said, with the free agency part. Salary cap is a bit of an issue that they're going to have to navigate.
All right, quickly, Steve, you know, when you talk about how this might not be a great draft for top quarterbacks.
Yes.
Wasn't Brady a sixth-round pick?
Right, you never know.
And where was Mahomes?
He was a first-round pick.
He was a first-round pick.
Yeah, he was taken right before the Saints were going to select, unfortunately, for Sean Payton.
Yeah, yeah. But Brady, I mean, there have been great quarterbacks. I mean, Brady was sixth-round. Sixth-round pick.
Even Drew Brees was a second-round draft pick, so he wasn't a first-round dude.
All right, so there might be somebody out there that he's looking at. It's going to be interesting to see. WWL Sports Director Steve Geller, thanks for being with us.
No problem, Scoot. Who dat?
All right, we're talking about Kellen Moore. He's the new head coach for the New Orleans Saints. All right, I'm Scoot. We got to take a break here, and we're going to come back and talk to Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser here on WWL. Always a lot to talk to the Lieutenant Governor about. Always has a lot of cool things to tell us. I'm also going to share some comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page about the Jesus Freaks on the Street, and then also the Kendrick Lamar halftime show still getting a lot of attention, many comments coming in about that. So I posted a couple of things on SOTA Facebook, and we'll get to some of those comments coming up on WWL. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1980, a show about radio went on the air. On this day in 1980, WKRP in Cincinnati, which had been on the air for a couple of years, they did a show about the episode of the tragic events of December 3rd, 1979, when 11 fans were killed at the Who concert at Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati. And this was an example of a sitcom that had a serious episode. This is the day in 1980 they had that episode about that tragedy in Cincinnati where 11 fans were killed. There was a stampede. And, you know, if you think back on some of the best sitcoms in history, they all had occasionally a serious episode that was meaningful. And this is the day they had that episode for WKRP in Cincinnati. I'm Scoot on the Air. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser joins us on our show. Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. Super Bowl was a huge success.
It really was. I just hand off Monday morning to San Francisco and flew. I'm in Washington, D.C. at the Keep America Beautiful Conference, and it is snowing like crazy outside.
Wow, yeah, the weather turned out to be really phenomenal, especially for those people who came from very, very cold climates. They had to love it. You know, it was cloudy much of the time, but the warmer weather had to be just great for them, except the female reporters who knew that the humidity was going to play hell with their hair.
I tell you, the media party at Mardi Gras World was one of the best parties I've ever been to anywhere in our state. Just a great, great event with all the best foods and people and the bands. It was just out on the river. The setting was great, and 6,000 media from around the world, I think, had the time of their life.
Yeah. And so now we just transition right into Mardi Gras with parades this weekend. And, you know, I'm very involved in the Crew of Mad Hatters, which is coming up on Saturday, February 22nd. And it's going to happen before we know it.
It really is. You know, I think we started getting a lot of feedback on Mardi Gras after the Rose Parade last year. And we feel like this Mardi Gras, with the hype from Super Bowl and the Super Bowl parade, which I rode in the streets, it looked like Endymion and Bacchus. The crowds were incredible for that parade. But I think that being televised nationally just upped our game for Mardi Gras, wanting people to come here, knowing it's not too late to book a trip. I think we're going to see record crowds for Mardi Gras all over Louisiana.
I hope so. Billy, how much can the state, and I know you can't speak for the city, I hope the city does it, but how much can we overall as a culture, how much of what we learned about being nice to people and taking care of things that need to be taken care of for the Super Bowl and for the visitors, how much of that can carry over from now on?
Well, I hope a lot of it. You know, I spent 3 days in between media interviews and events walking the streets of the French Quarter, talking to shop owners, talking to visitors, met 100 new friends I'll have for life. And just the atmosphere, feeling safe, was incredible. And I think that love and passion we all have for New Orleans and for Louisiana, it's shared with visitors, and especially feeling safe, seeing it clean. You know, I got to throw a bone out to DOTD. For the first time ever, we worked with them to put out a contract to clean all the roads in and out of the state and in and out of to the airports every day for a week leading up to the Super Bowl and 2 days after. Hopefully we can keep those kind of contracts in place to keep things clean. And the cleaner it is, the less likely people are to litter. But you're right. We've got to have a lot of conversation. And I'm hoping in the future we could have more conversations about managing that French Quarter under a group that either lives or works there so they can get the attention they need to keep it safe, clean, and beautiful, because it was shining for the Super Bowl, and I'd sure like to see it stay that way.
Well, we have to change the attitude of people who are so willing to just throw litter on the ground, and they just think nothing of throwing trash on the ground, and that's a cultural thing, but it's not acceptable, but somehow it has become acceptable.
It is. You know, we're supposed to, and I'm now going around meeting with school boards because they're supposed to teach litter in school. We've got Leaders Against Litter. I go speak to the kids all the time. And I'll tell you this, you know, I got to applaud the city council that gave out that contract to Sidney Torres to clean the quarter. And I took a picture from the balcony of the Montalvo apartment the morning before the Super Bowl. And I texted Sidney. I said, wow, what a great job. Your guys are actually wiping down the rails, wiping off the garbage cans. And he called me up and said, Billy, is that bird droppings or paint in the square? I need to get somebody out there to get that white up. Who does that? What an incredible ambassador that loves this city.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's how clean the French Quarter was. And I hope we keep him in place to do the French Quarter. And he wants to do so much more. So you got to have those people that really care doing the work, and he surely does.
Now, Sidney Torres is amazing. I agree with that. I want to do what I can to just help rework the mentality, the mental wiring that people have, where they're so willing to just throw stuff on the ground. And you know, I can't imagine that these people's homes are so neat and clean that they can't bring trash home and throw it away. They got to throw it out on the street.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, one of the things I'm working with DOTD to try to put these cans on an angle when you circle under the interstate to get back on, because if people have a place to put it, just like at Cracker Barrel, it's one of the few businesses that has garbage cans all over the parking lot. Most people will throw it in a garbage can if it's available. So we're giving out more grants for garbage cans in cities and towns, and hopefully getting a lot of these out on angles where people have a safe way to pull over and throw it out the window. So we're up in our game in every aspect, and hopefully we can get a little more money from the legislature this year to do more.
All right. Billy, is there anything else you want to talk about before we let you go?
No, but I'm going to try to come by Friday and see you and buy my wife some perfume when you're out there.
That'd be great. Listen, I'll make sure you get a good deal. And if you come by, we'll get you on the air, too, of course.
Okay. Look forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, thanks for being with us. Yeah, a lot of excitement. The Super Bowl just happened, and now we've got Mardi Gras coming up. And let me get to a couple of these texts from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. This is about Super Bowl week in New Orleans. Awesome, except for the Jesus freaks out on the street. And here's a comment from Shatney. It says, I so wish I was there. I was living there when the Patriots and Green Bay played in the Super Bowl in New Orleans, January 26, 1997. Jesus freaks are usually prowling around Mardi Gras. Yeah, I found it interesting. I mean, what is so damn sinful about going to the Super Bowl? It's a football game. And usually the Jesus freaks are all over the place for Mardi Gras and even Halloween. Frank says, this is about me, he's offended by Jesus freaks, but defends transvestites dressed as demons reading to little children, beware people. Frank Adams, you're a liar. Frank Adams, nobody who works with you, nobody who does business with you should trust you because you're a liar. Because Frank Adams, I never said that. So again, if you want to be critical, but be critical about something that I said. And anybody who deals with you in life, even your family, should not even trust you because you're a liar. All right, I got that out. Now, John Laborde said, Jesus freaks out in the street. Elton John from Tiny Dancer. Yeah, we played that. Let's see. Terry says, see you at the Mad Hatter's Parade. Had to scratch the ball due to a fractured ankle. Well, Terry, I hope you get better. Here's a comment from Ahmed. It was too many of them. Camille says, I almost feel like the Chiefs blew the game on purpose. I think they were told to lose the game. They looked so bad. The team didn't look the same, like they didn't even care. I'm sure that wasn't the case. No, I don't think that was the case. I think it was just a case of I think the Chiefs might have been just too relaxed and too loose, but they also at the same time may have just felt too much pressure. And that got to them. And not only did that get to them, but the Eagles defensive line got to Patrick Mahomes and that changed everything. Let's see. Patty says, I was so proud of New Orleans. I live in St. Louis now, but 57 years in New Orleans, there's no place like it. Love the city. Thank you for that comment, Patty. Debbie says, how about the backdrop behind the broadcasters in the dome? That was beautiful. Yeah, they showed that they were on Bourbon Street. I mean, it looked like Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady were behind the, it looked behind them. It looked like they were actually in the French Quarter on Bourbon Street. Here are a couple of comments from the other big post that got a lot of attention. This got 194 comments. This is on the SOTA Facebook page. What did you think of the Kendrick Lamar halftime show? Love it or hate it? And why? And this was about the blog that I wrote, criticism of Kendrick Lamar's halftime show. Was it justified? Amy said, I liked it. Tim said, neutral, not my kind of music overall, but the dancing and choreography and some of the actual singing was good. David said, it wasn't my cup of tea, but I'm sure some liked it. Joanne said, I hated it. Couldn't make heads or tails of it. ESPN Reel says, Scoot, I learned a lot from you. I just did what you told me to do. And if I want to watch it, if I don't want to watch it, just don't watch it. And I turned the TV off, turned it back on in the third quarter. Martha says, obviously, some people did not get the messages. Martha, that's obviously true. CW says, have you watched... have not watched the NFL in years. Okay. Michael says, not my bag of tea, but good for him for doing what he does. Millions of other people loved it. And, you know, I'm so glad to hear, I'm so glad to see these comments and that they're not just all negative. And if you didn't get the Super Bowl, that's the halftime show. That's okay. If you didn't understand what he was saying, that's okay. And I cover this in the blog that I wrote, which is posted on our website, WWL.com. It's also posted on my Facebook page, and you can read it and comment on it. Because my parents didn't get the Beatles. And so young generations are supposed to have music and identities that their parents' generation simply doesn't understand. So it's all very, very normal. But Kendrick Lamar won the Pulitzer Prize for Music in 2018. He's won numerous Grammy Awards. So he's legit. And if you don't like him, that's okay. You don't have to like him. But don't criticize the NFL for doing it. And don't be upset. Don't be arrogant like this woman who called the show yesterday. She was just disgusted and very arrogant that she didn't get it. And it wasn't appealing to her. Like the world has to revolve around you. You know, that's the me generation mentality of the boomers. And this is why I often refer to myself as a hostile witness to the baby boomer generation, because quite often baby boomers are all about me. How come I didn't like it? It wasn't targeted to me. And that started back in the 60s, and it does continue today. Everything doesn't have to be about you. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1964, the Beatles played their first concert in America, in the nation's capital, Washington Coliseum. Over 8,000 fans were there. 350 police were there. The Beatles played 12 songs. Do you know how long the average Beatle concert was in the early days? Like 20 to 30 minutes. Maybe 35, 40 sometimes. These concerts went by quickly because the songs were like 2.5 minutes long. So they might have played 12 songs, but man, they ran through them and they were on the stage and off the stage. But here's what I find interesting, and this is a real tribute to American music. This is the song the Beatles opened up with on their first concert on American soil on this day in 1964. You know, growing up as a white kid in the suburbs of New Orleans, I thought this was a Beatles song. Later I learned it wasn't a Beatles song. Man, this was Chuck Berry. And when we come back, I'm going to play the last song the Beatles played, which was also an R&B cover. So the Beatles opened and closed their first show in America with covers of American R&B music. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. And this is the last song the Beatles played in their set, their first concert in America on this day in 1964 at the Washington Coliseum in D.C. It was a Little Richard cover. You know, these were black artists that actually invented rock and roll and never got credit for doing so. The people in the UK, the young bands in the UK, like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, recognized their brilliance. And it's kind of interesting that the Beatles opened and closed their show with R&B cover songs, their first concert on this day in 1964. I'm Scoot on the Air. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Our Tuesday text off today was about Whitney Houston, who passed away this day. It was today, right?
Yeah, 2012.
2012. Yeah. Here's a text that says, you can't celebrate Whitney without also celebrating the man with the golden ear, Clive Davis. Man, I would love to sit with Clive and just discuss music.
Yeah, Clive discovered her and worked with her. And, it's true he deserves a lot of credit, but he doesn't deserve credit for her beauty, and he doesn't deserve credit for her voice. And those were the things that I was commenting on. But I do not dismiss the impact that Clive Davis had on her life.
Here's a text that says, this is Frank in Long Island. Frank says, you're killing me. I'm so choked up here about Whitney Houston. In my opinion, she was America's princess, especially after the movie The Bodyguard. That song, Unchained Melody, and My Way by Frank Sinatra are the best three songs in history. In fact, I told my friend who owns the local funeral home, those are the songs I want played at my wake. LOL.
Wow. Well, hopefully that's not too soon, Frank. And I mentioned earlier the story of, me hearing, I had played it on the air on B97, but I, again, there was this moment in time when I'm sitting at this light going to an appearance. And I'm in my Corvette, and life is great, and I felt like I was on top of the world, and I heard The Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston, and I was blaring the radio, and for some reason, the lyrics just really hit me at that moment, and it really made me realize that I didn't love myself, I had all, man, I had this like notoriety and all this stuff around me, but I didn't really love myself. And that song made me recognize that you really need to love yourself. And I suggest that you listen to the lyrics of The Greatest Love of All if you're having any struggles at all.
Here's a text that says, how about the class shown by Sean Payton to walk next to Gail Benson in the Nola Strong Honor commercial? I have a lot of respect for Coach still representing, and Kellen Moore gets to see what it feels like to represent a team with a real compassionate fan base, not like them a-holes in Philly.
I'm a bit at loss concerning the respect for Sean Payton and Gail Benson.
Did you see the bit before the Super Bowl where they were walking down the street to the Lady Gaga concert?
No, I didn't see that. But wait, Gail Benson didn't fire Sean Payton.
No.
I mean,
no, but
Sean,
I think, I, well,
in some ways, people think that Sean Payton kind of took advantage of the Saints by, you know, he was under contract and decided to retire because he wanted a little time off and was looking for a bigger market. So I don't know why he would not be willing to walk down the street with Gail Benson. I'm just
I think there are other head coaches that might not do that. As you know, he's the head coach of the Broncos now. He didn't have to come down here and, right. and you know, get out there at 2 a.m. and do that commercial with Lady Gaga, but walking next to his former boss, but he did.
Yeah, okay. I thought that was a cool thing, you know, to do. But again, I didn't get the big thing about, how amazing is this? Because again, she didn't fire him.
I'll leave you with this one. Scoot, the halftime show wasn't my thing. My kids don't like my music and I don't like theirs, mostly. But life goes on. People need to stop personalizing entertainment that they got nothing to do with.
Boy, it's so true. And, you know, we've got just, you know, this audience is filled with just really great, great people and smart people and people who get it. And there's some loud mouths that get through once in a while and complain and bitch, and a few people that get on my Facebook page. And, I don't have a problem with blocking people. I blocked a couple of people the other day just because they were ugly and nasty. You know, if you're going to be ugly and nasty, you can disagree with me, but don't lie. And if you want to disagree with me, just disagree with me on the truth, not lies. And if you're respectful and you just disagree, I mean, you can even passionately disagree with me. But when you start getting nasty and personal, you're not worthy of being on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. So you're done.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about this on the air now as well with what we're doing on the show. We've always thrown a pretty wide tent. You know, it's like we want a lot of people to come to the table and listen to our show and interact with us and be in discussions with us and share information and ideas and yada, 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 yada. But if you are one of those people that cannot find joy in anything except hurting other people and watching the world burn, you know, you're not welcome anymore.
No, you're not. You're not. And you're not welcome to call in. We don't have to take your call. You know, we've gone over the rules of calling into this show, and, you know, we simply don't have to take your call. We don't even have to have a fair and balanced presentation on the air in terms of the callers we take or the text that we read. So, you know, get over that. And many of you who want to bitch about that are the very ones who are listening to conservative radio that is just very, very myopic. So, you know, if we don't want to have a totally equal presentation here, we don't have to do that either. And there are a hell of a lot of people who enjoy what we're doing and have asked us to never stop doing what we're doing, so we're not going to. Hey, happy birthday today to Sheryl Crow. Sheryl Crow is 63 years old today. And I remember somebody else was going to interview her, but I remember seeing Sheryl Crow with her guitar, and she was just sitting in the lobby of B97 in the mid-90s, and she was just trying to get her music on the air, and she was at B97. She was going to talk to, I forgot who she was talking to that day, but I remember seeing her sitting in the lobby there at the very beginning of her career. And, you know, that's the way it starts. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, talk about the Saints' new head coach, Kellen Moore, coming up next on Sports Talk. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, traffic with Courtney P. And as always, I thank all of you for being part of the show, even if we don't always agree. Thanks for listening. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.